Today's program was brought to you by EscapeMaker.com. Visit a farm, escape through the net. Visit EscapeMaker.com for more.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Tomoko Omori, who is president of Gogo Curry USA, which operates four Japanese curry shops in Manhattan and one in Boston. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So we'll talk about Japanese curry in a moment, but first, how did you get into the food business, in curry business in New York?
Gogo Curry was opened in 2007, and I found out that curry was from Ishikawa Prefecture, which is where I was born and raised.
Okay.
And
that's like a beautiful western.
It is a beautiful, part of such Japan. a beautiful place to be.
Like
yes.
The peninsula. Right?
And I was working as a director of the community magazine called Chopsticks in New York. Mm-hmm. And so I was helping them as an advertisement and marketing. Mm-hmm. And later, they asked me to become a president of the company in the USA to expand the business.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. And also, you, I understand you worked for the New York Bureau of NHK, mm-hmm. and covered the Japanese, it was just Japanese national television like BBC in England, and you covered the Major League Baseball, and top Japanese players like Ichiro Suzuki, Takeshi Shinjo, Hideki Matsui, those people.
Yes.
So you're kind of bridging culture already.
Yes.
At that
yes.
point.
Yes. And by the way, Ichiro eats curry every lunch, and Matsui's favorite dish is his mom's curry.
Okay.
Even like a Ken Watanabe that plays a king, mm-hmm. at the King and I at the Lincoln Center.
Oh,
he said he cooks curry and he eats curry once a week, mm-hmm. to keep the condition.
Oh, wow. That's a health food. All right. So, and I'm very impressed because in Japan, female presidents are very still few. Mm. So, and you earned an award, Woman of the Year, by a notable Japanese magazine, Nikkei Woman, for your job at Gogo Curry.
Thank you. That's not only because of me, it's because of everybody.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Right. So now, let's talk about Japanese curry.
Yes.
So, our listeners may wonder why we're talking about curry in Japanese. So, how popular is curry in Japan?
Very popular. Very, very popular. I know everybody think Japanese only sushi, and your introduction said beyond sushi. Yes, we have more than sushi, and the curry is one of the comfort food. Mm-hmm. Mom's curry is the best, and if you ask listener, any of Japanese friend, how often you have it, they have eaten as they grew up, mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 would say at least twice. Because they eat at school, lunch, and at home, mm-hmm. at least once a week. Dads like it. And also, it's great for mother to use any of the ingredients in the refrigerator.
Mm.
So we don't need to waste any of the food in the fridge. So that's how it became a comfort food. And always, mom's recipe is the best. Mm. So if you get married, we have to learn mother's recipe to please our husband.
Right. Okay. And actually, I found some data about how popular curry is in Japan. And based on the government and the Japanese Canned Food Association statistics, a Japanese person eats curry 78 times a year on average. And there's another survey of 500 male in his teens to 40s and asking them what they want his wife to cook for dinner. And number one was meat and potato stew, And it's called the Nikujaga. Uh-huh. And number two is curry. And then number three, hamburger steak.
Mm, definitely.
So it's not just not for children, but for the entire population.
I would say so. And I have to say my husband's popular favorite dish of mine is curry too.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And hamburger. Hamburg. We say hamburg. Right. Yes.
Yeah. That's a Western style. Uh-huh. You know, the food. Well, we're going to mention that kind
that's
of...
That's very Western. Japanese, though, now, right. Nowadays.
Yeah. We'll talk about it a little later. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what is so special about Japanese curry? And it's very different from Indian curry.
Right. I know everybody would think curry is Indian or Thai, but Indian curry and Thai is more soupy, mm-hmm. and versus our curry is more gravy and thick mm-hmm. Curry used by other spices, but with the vegetables and the meats also included as mm-hmm. a stew.
Right. And in Indian curry, because it's relatively fluid, they are eaten with dry long rice because that absorbs more liquid or naan. That's the same thing, the absorbent.
Right.
Right, the starch. And in Japan, curry is very thick and usually put over sticky short grain rice. Mm-hmm. So that's a very unique style.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Most of the people in India and the Thai also use the hands to eat, mm-hmm. so that the sticky rice carries more heat and it's hard for them to really eat with in the mix with the curry. Mm-hmm. That's why we use the fork or spoon to eat mm-hmm. with the curry in Japanese style.
Right, because it's thicker and the heat is maintained for a long time.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. That could be disaster if we eat. Right. Yeah, and also I think, the style came, the Japanese curry is thicker because wheat flour is added mm-hmm. and made it into roux, like in French cuisine. And so that came through, what I understand is came through England.
Correct. England colonized India and took curry to England. But at the time, they did not know what the food means. And everybody said curry. Thai is spelled as K-A-R-I, curry. Mm-hmm. Is and means it's a liquid food over rice. And in Thai, is a turkery means smells good or something good. And so when the England took the dish and to England, the English thought that curry means that name of the dish.
Okay, so they just took the essence of the meaning. And so it basically means tasty and flavorful.
Yes.
Right. Great. And yes, I think that in the late 18th century, the British governor, Warren Hastings, he brought spices and rice from the colonial India. And the curry powder was invented in England, mm-hmm. right? It's because people couldn't just, the whole process, the different kinds
right,
of spices.
Right, blend all the spices and herb and make the stable taste.
Mm, okay, it consists on each time you eat.
Exactly.
Right. So, and then... Japan opened the country in 1854, I think, after 200 years of Sakoku, mm-hmm. In which foreign countries and Western culture, that's the main thing. The Sakoku during the 200 years, there's no commercial diplomatic communication with foreign countries, and suddenly it opened. So the food culture came in.
Yep.
And that included curry.
Curry, yes, and beef teki, which is beef steak. Tonkatsu, pork cutlet, mm-hmm. ebi furai, which is deep fried shrimp, mm-hmm. or kaki furai, deep fried oyster, right. and omelet over rice, mm. and spaghetti is one of them too.
Right, so that's the Western food. It's yoshoku,
right.
karaoke, Western
uh-huh.
food.
Nowadays it became Japanese too, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Tadashi Ono of, the Japanese chef, but he's French and everything. So, Gansoyaki uh-huh. chef, he mentioned something about how important it is to have yoshoku mm-hmm. when we grow up.
Right, yes.
So curry is one of them. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I think it's mentioned that the British Navy...
Right. The curry became so popular because the military was looking for that dish, which is healthy and easy to cook a lot mm-hmm. and preserve long. Mm-hmm. So they thought, British military makes eat the curry, and why don't we do it too? Mm. And so Navy ate every Friday, Marine ate every Friday, mm-hmm. and Navy ate every Saturday lunch. Mm-hmm. So they can track that day of the week too mm. when they are away. Right. So that's how they became popular. And then once they went home, they could not forget that taste of the curry, and mm-hmm. they started to make it. They asked, they taught their wives to make it mm-hmm. regularly because mm-hmm. it became their habits.
Right. Well, and I heard also, even now, the Friday menu of the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Forces is curry. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, it's the, you said the other part of the units of military does too.
Yep. Right. Saturday lunch for Navy.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So it's deeply embedded in Japanese military culture mm-hmm. as well as home,
yes.
home cooking.
Yes.
Right. All right. And so now, what's the... You know, Japanese people don't make curry from scratch, right?
Hard.
Mm-hmm. So what they do?
Well, thanks to England, they made curry powder. But because we imported all the time, the price was so high, mm-hmm. and only the high society people can eat. Mm-hmm. But when the soldier came back, they wanted to make it at home. Mm-hmm. So all the company tried to work it in Japan. Mm-hmm. So in 1923, curry powder was made in Japan. Mm-hmm. So now the price is down and everybody can make it. Mm-hmm. But then with the curry powder, we have to make it from the scratch with the mixing with the mm-hmm. flowers, other spices, and the secret sauce, mm-hmm. put it in. And so in 1960 to 1970, mm-hmm. the companies like SMB House and Glico Otsuka, they created curry cubes, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, soup cube.
Right.
That you can put it in mm-hmm. after you stew like vegetables and meats mm-hmm. in the pot.
Right. So basically that made curry really available to widely to everybody.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So what about the school lunches?
School lunch is like a restaurant quality too. Mm-hmm. They make it in the big kettle. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier to melt all the ingredients mm-hmm. and it'll be easier for kids to eat. Mm-hmm. And they can use other ingredients like honey or apple or mm-hmm. you know, make it healthy ingredients as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, the system mentioned is Japanese school lunches. I think they're a really good system.
Right? Yes. Very healthy.
Yeah. So remember when I was an elementary school student, you know, we take turns. There's a lunchtime radio. And I've already taken a turn to read all the calories, vitamins, every single uh-huh. Nutritious elements. And then I think probably 2-3 times a month, there's a curry.
Right. Because, you know, when you had that lunch and they have many dishes, mm-hmm. right? Rice, miso soup, and fish or all that. And probably like 5-6 dishes are there. Mm-hmm. And then, but for curry... It's only curry and rice and salad because in curry, everything is in there.
Mm.
You know? So that's why it's a balanced mm-hmm. Meal mm-hmm. they consider. That's why in 1982, I don't know how I can say it right in English, but I'm going to try. The Aggregate Corporation of All Japan School Dietitian Conference.
Okay.
That sounds tongue very... twister, right? Even in Japanese, it's very tongue twister. Kyushoku Eiyoshi Kyokai. They are set January 22nd as mm-hmm. a curry day. Mm. So all the elementary and junior high school across Japan mm-hmm. serve curry and rice together as a school lunch.
Okay. So basically, all nutritionists and dietitians mm-hmm. that governs mm-hmm. All kids' food.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a national system, isn't it?
Yep.
Right? So they approved curry as a nutritious, mm-hmm.
balanced food. Mm. Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Right. And also you mentioned earlier when we were talking before the show, mm-hmm. like you said, there is a NASA astronaut.
In 1992, the astronauts of NASA, Mr. Mamoru Mori, mm-hmm. he ate curry in space rocket.
Wow. Is it in tube?
Yeah, I think so. We have a bowl in the bag curry. Mm-hmm. And the first one was called bone curry, if you remember.
Yeah, bone curry is like you know, the pouch.
Yes,
you
right.
know, like vacuum pack
mm-hmm.
bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first generation of instant, totally instant lettuce.
Yep, that was invented in 1968. And then you can put one bag in the boiling water for 3 minutes, and you can open it and pour it over rice, and that's done. You know, it's ready to eat. Easiest after instant ramen.
Okay,
you know, so this is like instant curry, ready to eat curry.
Right, like cup of noodles, and curry version.
Right. So like a mom, you see kids going to college, he cannot or they, she cannot cook at all. They always pack it. You know, this kind of boiling the bad curry. Or she cook her own curry in a and put it in that container and froze it in their freezer. You know, so they feel easy. Okay, they have a food. They have balanced food in their home, you know.
Well, it's interesting. You can freeze it because it fits in the end. You cannot freeze a curry, right? It gets
that's
too
true.
Icy and crystals everywhere.
That's true. And the key is actually, if you use potato, it doesn't reserve long either. So if you are making it for reserve or freeze, we avoid to use potato.
Okay. Because it contains a lot of water, probably it makes it... easier, susceptible to okay. So maybe you can make a little of, you know, cubes of curry, and then you can melt into, you know, small portions, and then put it in a soup or something. Make a curry soup.
Yeah, that's a well, you can use that with using a curry cube and just with a dashi broth and to make it, you know, curry soup too.
Right, you're talking about that, you know, the instant curry cubes, okay. So, well, I mean, it's really interesting. The astronauts brought, you know, they always bring something very national,
right,
to symbolize the food the country eats. So that's the curry.
Yes.
That's interesting. All right. So let's go back to that, you know, the instant curry roux. So that is basically, you know, you can use the powder and just roasting a flour to make into the roux. So the company made it easier, right? So it's a kind of sticky cubes. And then if you go to Japanese grocery store, there's a colorful box and you see it's a curry because the picture is really everywhere.
Right? I actually brought it here. I'm sorry if the listener can see it, but it's a...
Yes, called golden, golden curry.
It's golden curry.
Right? And S&B is one of the biggest, one of the top three curry producers.
Right.
And it says, the box says hot. So usually it's a sweet,
medium spicy.
Spicy.
And hot.
Right. And this is hot. But I don't think it goes too hot.
No, it never does, actually, because Japanese really not eat too spicy food at all. So they came from, maybe like my first spicy food was kimchi from Korea. And I just couldn't handle it when I was in Japan. It's too spicy for me.
It's a crying tears in your eyes.
Yes. Right. Wasabi is different, you know, because we use it not for the spiciness wise. That was for cleansing the palates or for more of the cleanliness kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and also the wasabi comes to your nose and disappears in a second, you know, in the sushi. And it's really hits your nose and then it's gone.
Right.
But I think chili peppers, like Mexican food, you know, stays. That comes gradually and stays. Yeah, so Japanese palate is really adjusted to the Japanese palate.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And so the curry roux, I think, you know, again, just the packages, you know, if you open it, it's like a chocolate, right?
Right.
But it's thicker, cubes, like ice cubes.
Right.
So the benefit of that is you can really, you know, how many cubes you use.
Exactly. You can, yes. It's a... Nowadays, it's getting smaller and smaller, so you can use like half of it, and it's all usually like 8 to 6 cubes into
per box.
Right, so you can adjust that amount of you use as depending on if you are alone or only a couple or the family. You know, I still at home, I can mix 2 different blends of that curry cubes too.
Okay. So for the flavor. Okay. Like, so how much is the box, by the way?
Usually, well, here you can get it like $2 to $3
per box in a Japanese grocery store, and that would make probably 2-3 meals.
I would say so, yes. Right. And some people likes a day-old curry, too. So
I think it's actually better.
You know? Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. But it makes sense because if you cook the curry in a big pot and then next day all the oil, I think, you know, particles are getting smaller and the carrots and onion, everything, you know, it's more sweeter because it absorbs and it's broken down.
Yep.
And also there's a toasty bottom.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I used to fight for that next day with my brother. Right. Can you come back from school?
That's all the family, huh?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyways, so let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk more about how to eat curry.
All right.
So
wonderful.
Please stay with us.
And this one's called Foolish by Vesa. We'll be right back.
Visit a farm. Log on to escapemaker.com for more ideas on local weekend getaways and day trips, including orchards, farms, and wineries. Or come by Escape Maker's Yellow Tent in Grow NYC's Green Markets and pick up a guide to local agritourism escapes to the Green Market's own farmers and producers. The guide will be updated seasonally to feature farms, wineries, and destinations in New York City, New York State, New Jersey, Vermont, and Pennsylvania. Plus, Escape Maker will offer overnight packages to these destinations so you can get the full experience. No car? No problem. Escape Maker features plenty of ideas for car-free getaways, including discounts via Amtrak. There's no better time to explore outside the city. Soak up the fresh air and scenery like a butterfly and support your local farmer. Log on to escapemaker.com to get inspired and make your escape through the net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Tomoko Omori, who is president of the Japanese curry chain Gogo Curry USA. So we've been talking about Japanese, you know, the home cooking curry. So let's talk about the recipes. Mm-hmm. So what's the classic recipe?
Classic recipe at home made would be any choice of pork or meat. Like, you know, usually people eat beef or pork.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken, maybe little, less. But pork or beef, and use a vegetable like a potato, carrots. I like to use celery, but not a lot of people does.
A little advanced Western style.
And onion. Mm-hmm. You know,
onion, I think, is very, the essence, right? Because make it, you know, the carrots and onion, they're sweet and the balance with the spiciness of the curry.
Correct. Yes, yes, definitely. And without the curry sauce, well, a lot of people like sauteed the onion to make it really brown.
Mm-hmm. So first you cook the ingredients, meat, you know, the kind of pan sear.
Yeah, that's right. Let me introduce that easiest way, right? And a typical way, right?
That, right?
Okay. All right. So you're going to sear your choice of meats and a vegetable in one pot.
Mm-hmm.
That make it easier.
Yeah.
And then when that meat and vegetable became tender and that heaten, and then we'll add water.
Mm-hmm.
Like with one box of curry cube would be, if you're using one box, entire box, it'll be 1.5 liter of water is going to be in
so
the
what's
one
the,
pot.
How many ounces in the box?
Let me see.
Yeah.
It says.
Yeah, it's a, it's not too big.
No, it's not. It's a 240 gram. What's that in ounce? It doesn't say.
Right.
Yeah. So we,
well, we'll get the idea.
That's it.
Right?
All right. It's a radio. So so I can't read, really, for a long time. So, and then when we stew, when the ingredients get really tender, and then we take about 15 minutes or so, 15 to 20 minutes, because in the home curry, we want to have ingredients there, you know, to see what's inside, too. And then put the curry cubes.
Okay.
And simmer it for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic. So as I mentioned, like if you want to show what kind of ingredients inside, that's fine. But like a mom used that trick, and then a kid says, "I don't like carrots." But then we melt the carrots, so they don't see it. But they can still use that nutritious carrots there,
right?
You know. And then they said, "That curry is so sweet. What's inside? It's carrots in it. It's a secret of carrot. Carrot makes it sweet." So then the kids started to loving it,
right?
You know, with the figure. So curry was made. Like, you can use any ingredients. Some people likes to use eggplants. Mm-hmm. Some people likes to use the celery like I do. Chocolate would be another secret. Yes.
Wow.
And yogurt, coconut milk, mm-hmm. milk, honey, coffee, cheese and wine. You can use anything to make more complicated and very deep in the original curry.
Right.
Could be made in any way like that.
It sounds like the Japanese, you know, instant food is very basic. So if you want to make it spicy, you can add maybe red chili pepper.
Yes.
And maybe want to make it more
garlic or ginger to make some spice.
Right, and maybe powdered turmeric or something.
Sure,
like those
yes.
Wow, it's very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, and then you can just cook, you know, tonight you have it, and tomorrow maybe for lunch.
Yes.
You know, you just keep cooking.
Yeah. Right. And then if you like, you can put some broth to make it some curry soup,
mm-hmm.
and put it in the noodles inside.
Mm. Oh, that's there's a variation of curry udon.
Right.
Curry udon. Curry udon. That's curry udon.
Yes. Curry udon in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Like curry in noodle soup. Udon noodle soup or soba noodle soup
mm-hmm.
is very popular too.
Right. So udon is thicker and it's made with the flour,
mm-hmm.
not instead of buckwheat, that's a soba. Mm. So it's kind of like a pasta.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like to make a udon like a pasta
mm-hmm.
and then pour the curry sauce over it the next day
mm.
and then mix it and eat. I like that style too.
Mm. Okay. So another variation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's another, so this is my mom's favorite actually. There's a curry bread, it's kareba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which is a deep fried pastry filled with curry sauce. And it doesn't sound like a healthy Japanese food. But it's really like the concentrated curry.
Very popular. Flavor. Very popular. Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay. And so the roux, I think, you know, the instant curry roux that we're talking about in the box, I think the beef or pork fat is added. So it's really richer and kind of flavorful, more mm-hmm. than the Indian version.
Mm-hmm. I would say so, especially you're stewing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that the broth from that meat is going to be stays inside and that's make the richness of the sauce.
Mm. Okay. And what about the cutlet? I think... a lot of people in globally, people uh-huh. like katsu kare.
Yes. Katsu kare is really popular, and we put deep fried cuts, pork cut or cutlet or chicken cutlet, and deep fried, and I put it over the rice, over the curry, over the rice,
mm-hmm.
and so and put it our tonkatsu sauce over it. So that's actually make it a little sweeter in the curry sauce.
Mm.
And the meat is obviously there. So, and some people like to jinx it. Katsu means to win.
In Japanese.
Right, in Japanese. So when they are going to school or to
take exams,
get a job.
Right.
Yes, the exam, they eat katsu curry right. to win.
I have a job interview today, so let's eat katsu curry.
Exactly.
Right. But is it, I don't think it's a, is it new? Recipe or something back in the 1960s or 70s?
Yes, that was 1961 at the Ginza, the mm-hmm. place, I forgot the name of it. I was going to bring it, but I forgot the place in the Ginza started. Because
Rengate? No.
Ginzate?
Rengate or something.
Rengate? Right. It could be. And that invented because that person really liked the cutlet teishoku with mm-hmm. the rice and the miso mm-hmm. soup.
Right, teishoku is a set menu.
Yes,
right.
But he still wanted to have a curry.
Mm.
So he ordered a two lunch set and then he put a katsu over it.
Mm.
And that's how the customer really told that restaurateur says, hey, this would be a good menu because, you know, I love these two all the time. And the owner of the restaurant thought, yeah, a lot of people comes in and alternate the menu to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, maybe we can put it together. How does it work?
Make it easier.
And especially for the busy people, that helped a lot.
Right.
So that's how it started, they said.
Right. And, well, this sounds like there is a... Not just home cooking, but this restaurant business of curry back in, I don't know, decades ago, sounds like. Mm-hmm. You said the business in Ginza?
Yes. Ginza curry is that classic one. Mm-hmm. It started in the beginning of the Taisho Jidai.
Oh, which is?
The late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everybody thought that's cool to eat curry.
Right. That's when the Western food came in after, you know, the country opened, and then whole Western things started to settle down.
Yes,
as a modern, in fashionable thing, the cool thing.
Yes, right. Yes, and eating something with a spoon was a cool thing for them to do. Besides soup, you know.
Right, so that's another reason curry became stylish and popular at that time.
Yes,
was that the curry? You know, Ginza. Was that what is the name of the restaurant again? The curry.
I thought you said
That's Rengate.
Rengate?
But the one, the Ginza curry.
Ginza curry is that original name of it.
Okay, right. So that's the restaurant who started to serve curry first?
That's what they say, yes.
Okay, right. So that's a classic style of Japanese curry?
Before it went really popular at home.
Okay, so they probably educated people outside the Navy or the military.
Right.
Right, that's interesting. All right. So, and then going back to, you know, what you can eat, that kind of restaurant quality curry. Now, there are a lot of, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like pre-made curry that's available in the vacuum sealed bags.
Mm-hmm.
So are there many variations? I think if you were to supermarket, there's so many of them, right?
Hundreds. And now they are joint venturing with all the restaurants. Ah. So each restaurant has that bagging, what is it?
The vacuum sealed bags.
Yes, right. Everywhere.
Right. So like each one brand.
If we go to Kanazawa, and there's a Kanazawa style curry which we serve at Gogo Curry, that there are six curry stores serve exact the same style of it. So at the Kanazawa station, you see seven kinds of restaurant name with the curry.
But the same style?
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So are there regional variations?
I think so. Like the people, when you go to the different region, they have a different curry too. Like if you go to Sendai, gyutang curry.
It's like the beef tongue curry.
Yep, very popular. And some people use some miso-based or tomato-based curry.
Miso-based curry. So they put the miso in it.
Yes. So it's more deep.
Mm.
Yes. It's still so good. And tomato is getting really popular too.
Huh.
Tomato curry.
Because it's a lot of umami in it.
Yep.
Okay. So. It's like a ramen.
That's
true. Traditional variation.
That's true. Yes.
Mm. And then each mom's tastes differently.
Exactly. Yes.
Depending on where the region is. Okay. Yeah, and I think actually all those convenient products, curry maintains the state of Japanese national food. And the market size of the instant curry is now $460 million.
Mm.
So that's a lot of money. A lot of eating of curry.
Yes.
Right. So how do you describe the curry taste? It's like a sweeter, or the texture is thicker, right? And
It's not spicy. If you choose a spicy one, it's like it's still cayenne pepper or red pepper is inside, so that spiciness comes. But it's just the mildness from the vegetables or the meat, it blends it. And so it is very thick gravy, tasty gravy sauce. Yeah.
So in a way, more satisfying kind of, I mean, you don't have to eat so much.
Right. Well, you know, you can adjust with the amount of rice. You know, if it's a soup, you know, you rice absorb and then you tend to eat more. But because it's a gravy type, you can adjust how much amount of rice you want to eat and put it about the same amount of the curry sauce. Mm.
So that's another versatility, right? Okay, so you just the amount, and the flavor, the level of spiciness, and the style ingredients. Cool. So now, what kind of curry rice can you eat at the Gogo Curry?
We actually make it from the scratch.
Okay.
So, you know, that talked about, the, we use curry powder, but we use different herbs and ingredients. We mentioned like a coconut or the milk. And
So you add coconut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Coconut milk is there too. Mm-hmm. You know, so we use a lot of vegetables and meats and make that 200 milliliter kettle like that school use, so that we can serve a lot of people.
Right, like for school lunches.
Right.
To that size.
Yes. Right. And so that makes the original curry sauce.
Mm-hmm. And at each shop?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we make it two shops right now.
Okay.
And give it to the other stores.
Mm-hmm.
But we stew 55 minutes, mature 55 minutes, then 55 hours before we serve. So what you have is actually a 1 day and a half old curry. So it's, as you mentioned, it's better.
Right.
Yeah. So that we serve with rice and with the original curry sauce. You can choose the topping of pork cutlet, chicken cutlet, shrimp, and ebi hurai, which is a deep fried shrimp. Or sausage. And,
sausage.
Yes. And egg is really popular for the topping.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have fukujinzuke, which is a pickled radish, or rakyo.
These are very classic condiments.
Right.
Japanese curry, right?
Yep. Rakyo is a sweet and sour scallion, pickled scallion. So these are very, classic and very good with curry to cleanse the palate.
Okay, so vinegar.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, if you go to Japanese, you know, station curry shop, which is like even standing eating, and they serve, they have like a pot so they can pick as much as they want.
Yep.
Right? That's classic, that's that.
Yes.
Right. So, but those, you know, the shrimp and sausage, these are very modern style for this market, the American market?
That's, I think, came from man's wish. So, like, katsu curry was considered like a man's dish too. But then now that sausage is another topping to make it strong or something like that.
Mm. But I'm surprised. I went to one of your stores and then had a lot of women, like very slender, fashionable women eating, you know, the katsu curry.
Yes.
And that was very, you know, good to see.
It is. I mean, like, some curry store have a lot of men. And Gogo Curry is one of the places well known as a man comes in to eat a lot and kind of thing. And I really hate hearty food. But in America, like you mentioned, everybody comes.
Mm.
You know, young, old, men, women, they just love good food and taste good
it's
food.
It's comfort food.
Yes,
too.
It
like
is.
Like pizza.
It is.
Right. And then, there's, you know, your company has 75 locations in Japan.
Uh-huh.
So what's the demographics of Japanese stores, customers?
In Japan, mostly men. In 20 to 40, we can stretch a little, early 50.
Mm.
But not too many women, I guess, because women can cook it at home.
Oh, okay.
They don't feel like they can eat it. That, like, it's like a, you know, mac and cheese.
Mm.
So, you know, you can so easily cook and it's, you can eat it anytime.
Right.
So you don't feel like spending money on somebody's, you know, ingredients sort of thing.
I can make it better. So
right.
Why won't
exactly. And a woman not like that in Japan. So, but, you know, if you go to eat mac and cheese at the restaurant, it's a restaurant quality.
Right.
But, you know, Japanese women would think, like, I can make it better. I really didn't eat out curry at when I was in Japan, too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even here, you know, because I feel my curry is the best, you know. Mm. It is a comfort food, you know.
And also, I mean, it's something left over in the fridge, like you said earlier. You can clean up the fridge, and it's nutritious.
Yes.
And you can make it less heavy without big cutlet on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So who are you, the customers, I mean, the in New York and in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So any generation, old generations, or?
Oh, the generation. Really, like men or women in the age 20 to 60s, we can stretch.
Mm.
And yeah, really, once you eat it, you come back, you know.
Mm.
We see all that store staff members being friend with a lot of regulars, and then they explain, they can tell what they're going to eat once they come into the store. So I was like, wow, how often do they come? And they said, oh, mostly every week or twice a week. Some people come like three times a week.
Wow.
So, yep, that's good.
Right. And so what's the most selling item?
Well, pork cutlet curry is the most popular and signature dish as well. Because, chicken and the curry, we cut it at the store, and we freshly bread it every day. And we deep fry at the order.
Mm.
So it's everything is so fresh and juicy and very, very crispy outside. So, and it's just very addictive.
Right. Okay, I'm getting hungry now. Right. All right. And what's the price range?
It's a, Gogo curry, only the curry with rice in a vegetable is $5.50. And with the topping, $7.50.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a great deal.
Right. It's a lot of food. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Some ladies like are coming in and say, oh, I eat this much for lunch and I'll save it for this much for dinner. And, you know, here in America, taking out food, leftover food, is so normal and recommended.
Right.
And I would love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they eat too.
Right. Great. All right. So, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And good luck with being an ambassador of Japanese curry.
Thank you so much. And this is a great program.
Thank you. So, listeners, if you'd like to know more about Gogo Curry, please visit gogocurryusa-ny.com. And if you have any questions or comments, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And you can also reach me at akikokatayama.com. Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.